that.
All right. Okay, amen. Let me see if I can figure out where you guys can open up to, and then I'll be there. I'll be there directly. Tell you what, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I mentioned this morning that I was going to be preaching on the subject of the Lone Ranger. You say, man, that old classic television show. Yep, that's the one. I asked this morning, I was really surprised. I thought for sure maybe some of these younger folks would not know who the Lone Ranger was. It's probably so that they've never sat down and watched a 30-minute version of it, you know, because it's so classic, amen. It's just something you have to kind of work through. But the Lone Ranger and Tonto, amen. All right. I've never really been a Lone Ranger fan. I just never have. I know the show's been around, I guess, for about 40, 50 years now. But recently, I've been watching a few episodes. It comes on television about 7:30 in the morning. I'm normally up. I've done read my Bible. Right around that time, I'm sending out my trivia. And about the only time I can watch it would be on Mondays. That's the only days that I'm off. And so, but it comes on at 7:30 in the morning. And so I've turned over there. Sometimes the news just gets, you know, like the news is, and just for something there. And so I'm watching it. And I get it. We've all seen The Lone Ranger. We know all these things. And so there I am watching it. And I began to notice in The Lone Ranger a reoccurring phrase. And I believe this phrase occurs in every episode. If not nearly every one of them, every one of them. At least every one that I've seen. It began to stand out to me, and so, if you will, let's get this picture. For instance, I remember watching one time where this horse-drawn wagon was going along, and all of a sudden these bandits came along and they robbed the stagecoach. And in there, robbing the stagecoach, there they are, left disoriented. The bad guys have gotten away. Somebody's laying dead on the ground, and the people that were in the stagecoach, they're all nervous and wondering what's going on. And so it was just Rob. And along comes, you know who it is, the Lone Ranger and Tonto. And at the Lone Ranger's, once they see the Lone Ranger, them and they're disoriented already, that seems to frighten the people even more. Why? Because he looks like a bad guy. He looks like a bad guy. And once he realizes their fears, he always has to say something like this. Forget the mask. Oh, well, what are you? You're coming to rob us. We've already been robbed. I'm not here to rob you, ma'am. But you've got the mask on. Oh, forget the mask. You've come to rob the bank. He goes into a bank, and oh, what are you doing here? Is this a holdup? No, don't worry about the mask, he says. He goes into a saloon or whatever the case might be, and he's looking for someone. And man, when they see him, automatically they withdraw themselves, and they're afraid. And he says, hey, something like this: hey, never mind the mask. I got to thinking about that. Man, that doesn't make any sense. That here he is, everywhere he goes, every time he sees somebody, he has to say something like, forget the mask. Never mind the mask. Pay no attention to the mask. And as the script goes in the shows, they somehow just overlook the mask as if it's nothing at all. And by the end of the episode, he's the savior of the day. Every episode he has to tell people to overlook that thing that makes him look like a bad guy. Amen? Forget the mask. Never mind the mask. Pay no attention to the mask. And so in every episode, he has to tell people to overlook that thing that makes him look like a bad guy, so that you ultimately see him now as a good guy. Now, think about that. He has the image of a bad guy. But before it's over with, you're going to see this guy that has an image of a bad guy as the hero. Even a hero, as he rides off into the sunset with a hearty, "Hi-yo, Silver! Away!" That's how they do it, by the way, in case you wonder. I started thinking about this, and I asked the question. I asked this question myself. Rather than have to explain that stupid mask, why don't we take the stupid thing off? Never mind the mask. I'll pay no attention to the mask. I got to thinking, why in the world doesn't he, why would he not just go ahead and get rid of the mask? That is, to put aside that thing in his life which identifies him with anything but the good guy.
Yeah, good. Amen.
Who's with me?
Amen. That's right.
Oh, he just get rid of that stupid mask.
Yeah.
I mean, every time he has to explain it away. It identifies him with crooks. It identifies him with robbers. It identifies him with thieves. It identifies him with everything that's the antithesis of what he turns out to be. But he always has to tell people. Listen, if he'd just get rid of the mask, he wouldn't have to force people to overlook his appearance, saying, "Pay no mind to the mask. Don't worry about the mask. Forget the mask." And as I thought about this, it dawned on me. This is exactly what a lot of Christians do. It's like they want to have, I wrote in my notes here, it seems that just like the Lone Ranger, many Christians bask in their affiliation to worldly things. Because in their minds, the good that they do warrants them telling others to simply overlook that thing in their life. Pay it no mind, or if you will, they're telling others to forget the mask. Forget the mask. We look at our lives and we say, "Man, I know I've got that one vice in my life." And that one vice we cling on to, for whatever reason we justify it, maybe because sins in other people's lives, maybe because we're living in a society that doesn't recognize these things as wrong. Who knows what the reasons are, but we've got that vice in our life, and we live our Christian life in a manner where we're putting that in front of people and asking them to forget that. To look at all the good. Look at all the other. Don't look at the mask. Forget the mask. Overlook the mask. Never mind the mask. Look at all the other stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've seen that in so many Christians' lives. But I just have to tell you. I can't overlook the mask. I can't overlook the mask. I mean, the Lone Ranger, you can say that, you know, if it was reality, obviously it's television, they're going according to the script, but if that was a real deal, some guy showed up with a mask on, he told you to overlook the mask, you wouldn't overlook that. You couldn't overlook that. It's too glaring. It's too obvious. And to simply overlook it just doesn't make any sense. I wrote down four things that the mask does, and this is not the body of the message, but it'll get us. The mask, to me, the mask shows affiliation. The mask shows affiliation. When you see a person with a mask on, it's obvious they're trying to cover up who they are. All right? I didn't finish high school, but I got that much. And that when a guy wears a mask, he does not want you to know who he is or who she is, her affiliation. And everybody that wears a mask is usually in a crowd that is not considered a godly crowd. Who's with me? Everybody wore a mask. They're robbers and they're thieves and they're bandits and they're hiding their identity. Why? Because they're up to no good. That's the affiliation of an individual who wears a mask. The mask not only shows affiliation, but it shows association. When you have a mask on, without a doubt, there's an idea that there are others who are wearing the same mask, and it puts you in with that crowd. It gives, not only does it show affiliation and shows association, but it shows, it gives affirmation that mask is more important to you than what you feel like it is to anyone else. You're comfortable behind that mask. You like that mask. It offers you some sort of pleasure, some sort of a comfort, if you will. It shows affirmation. And then lastly, it tells of adoration, what you love. It's what you love. Wearing the mask. Wearing the mask. How about this for an example? Here's a sports hero. You know these sports figures, man, I tell you, people flock to those guys and they're so great and they're so wonderful and they're so athletic and they're so talented and they're so good at what they do. And my goodness, man, they're talented and boy, they're prosperous. They make millions and millions of dollars and they think, boy, we think they're great role models. They talk about God. They even talk about Jesus in their interviews. Man, they meet out in the middle of the field or in the dugout or middle of the ice or whatever they're playing and they pray together. Boy, they look so spiritual. Man, they give to charities and they do all these things. Man, they don't drink and they don't smoke and they tell people to stay away from drugs and finish your school, their education. They tell all these things. But you don't go to church. You know what they want you to do? Forget the mask. I know. Just forget the mask. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Look at all this other stuff. Don't look at the mask. You're just looking at one part of my life. Don't look at that. Look at everything else. That's exactly what the Lone Ranger wants you to do. He don't want you to look at his appearance. He wants you to look at all the good that he does. And I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that, because what happens is at the end of the day, the person that has every appearance of doing wrong ends up becoming the hero as we forget the mask. So here's a sports hero. He don't go to church and he wants you to just forget the mask. Don't focus on that. So all of a sudden, we as the Tonto, the Lone Ranger, we overlook this area, one of the very fundamentals of our Christian faith, and we all see that person as a good person. We're taunting their praises. We're wearing their jerseys. We're hanging their posters. We're getting their autographs. We're having our pictures taken with him. They're superstars. And I want you to know who loves you tonight. Who loves you? Come on, we're talking about Lone Ranger. Right? I'm not saying anybody here is like that, but old Lone Ranger, that's the way he is. All right? How about this? One of our young people want to go out and get him a tattoo. Listen, they're going to go out and get them a tattoo. They're faithful to church. They memorize the scripture. Man, they've been they give faithfully their tithes and their offerings. Man, they dress right. Boy, they sing so good. But they've been influenced by somebody else to go out and get them a tattoo. And here they go. Man, they go out there and they get their tattoo. I want you to notice that before they go get their tattoo, I did not say that they read their Bible. Because if they did, the Bible teaches against getting a tattoo. Amen, Brother Brian. Amen. I didn't say that they spent time in prayer. Because they spent time in prayer, they wouldn't go out and get a tattoo. I did not say that they were faithful soul winners, because if they were faithful soul winners, they wouldn't go out and get a tattoo.
That's right.
But these people are faithful to church. They memorize the Bible. They give faithfully. They dress right. They sing good. They run out and get them a tattoo. And now they've done something that's absolutely contradictory to all taught in their faith. And you know what they want everybody else to do? Forget the mask. Look at all the other good that I do. Forget the thing that's glaring. Forget the thing that's staring you right in the face. Overlook that and look at all these other things. Never mind the mask. Forget the mask. I'm always looking at the mask. I can't help but look at the mask. Man, it's the very essence of the Lone Ranger is his mask. And he tells everybody, forget the mask. Never mind the mask. Never mind that thing that makes me look like a bad guy. And I'm going to prove to you I'm a good guy. My goodness. My goodness. Don't you tell me it ain't so, because it is so. People that have these vices in their lives, and rather than clean up, what they want to do is they want to look like the heathen and try to show everybody else that they can be godly even though they look like heathen. That's the Lone Ranger. And you know, we fall right in line with that. All because we never mind the mask. Hey, man, I feel like I'm plowing now. Listen, they say and they want everybody else to overlook it. Don't pay that no mind. It's just a tattoo. Hey, it's just that I don't go to church on Sunday. That one thing, why are you always focusing on that? And all the Tontos gather around these individuals and singing their praises. Boy, they think they're such superstars. But I say they're super scars. They have a scar on the face of their Christian faith. They are a slap in the face of their parents. What you're supposed? Why? Because just like the Lone Ranger, what you are supposed to be doesn't match up with everything you're appearing to be. What you're supposed to be does not match up with everything you're supposed. What you're supposed to be doesn't match up with what you are appearing to be. And we want everybody to forget the mask. I've seen it. All of these professing Christianity, drinking their beer. They want to show that they can drink beer and be a good Christian. People smoking cigarettes, they're not weeping and begging God to deliver them from their cigarettes. Instead, they want to try to, they get to the point where they realize, okay, I'm not going to quit smoking, but let me try to be a good Christian while I continue to smoke cigarettes. And they want everybody to overlook the mask. I mean, look at all the other stuff I do, and all you want to focus in on is the cigarettes and is the drinking, the slutty clothes wearing. Man, a lot of women today, they dress so immodestly. Coming into the house of God, and they do this with kind of the same mindset. Man, look at all the other good that I do. Man, I'm involved in the church. Man, I'm singing. Man, I'm giving. Man, I'm participating in all the functions, but I don't dress in as modest a fashion as I should. And they're saying to everybody else, don't pay that no mind. Don't pay that no mind. Look at all the other good stuff that I do. Man, those shacker-uppers, amen. Living together, I know society didn't see anything wrong with it. And maybe you know, got a lot of friends in your life, don't see anything wrong with it. But God says it's wrong. Yeah, but you're not careful, you'll be like the Lone Ranger. You'll tell everybody, overlook that. And you'll strive to live a life that's spiritual, even though you're living in fornication or adultery. Who's with me?
Yes, sir.
Overlook the mask, Brother Brian. Overlook the mask. Don't pay that mask no mind. Look at all the other stuff I do. Why, my goodness, we'll be holding Bible studies. Man, we'll go out and we'll meet with people. We'll talk about the Scripture. We may even get out and get the Gospel. We may be get involved in church. We're faithful. And we're doing all these things that are spiritually minded. But you're living in sin with a girlfriend. You're living in sin with a boyfriend. And you're telling everybody else, don't pay that no mind.
Yeah, man.
I can't. I can't overlook the mask because it looks like ungodliness. It looks like wickedness. It looks like sin. How can I overlook that? And shacker-uppers, rock and rollers, cursers. People claim to be saved, got filthy mouths. Shame on them. Well, I know, blankety blank, 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 but I love God. Huh?
Yeah.
Why are you being so judgmental, preacher? You're not supposed to look at that. Don't look at the mask. Don't look at the mask. Look at all the good stuff I do. Look at all the good that I do, and that's all you want to focus in on? Is that one thing? Yeah, because it's looking at me right in the face, these tattoo braggarts. I know some people in here, a lot of people in here, more than you realize, have tattoos. More than I realize, thank God. I don't want to realize. But a lot of people have tattoos. I'm not talking about you right now, unless you're bragging on your tattoos. Now I'm talking about you. You take them old tattoos out there in this world, and you look like everything that's associated with tattoos. You realize some of the tattoos you got on you don't glorify God in the least. I'm telling you scripturally, none of them glorify God. But I'm talking about by your carnality. I'm talking about naked women on your skin. I'm talking about skulls and crossbones and all these things that are associated with death. But I'm a good Christian. I'm a good Christian. I have my pew packed with people. I'll give my tithes and my offerings. Why, my goodness, I'll go out here and I'll tell people about Jesus and I'll sing and I'll do all these things that are spiritually minded. And when it comes to my tattoos, you just overlook that. Forget the mask. Forget the mask. Can't do that. Dope smokers, dope shooters, even homosexuals today do the same thing. They're involved in homosexuality, but they won't talk about what a good Christian they are, and they want you to overlook that sin in their life. I can't. I can't do that. I can't do that. And liberal Democrats, amen, I don't want to go political on you, but that's a mess. How about these? How about those believers that are unfaithful to church? All of these strive to get people to forget the mess, to overlook that area of their life, and just focus in on the good that they do. Here's a believer. He's very much involved in his community. Boy, he's an activist, and maybe he does a lot of good things in his community. But as a child of God, he's not faithful to the house of God. And my friend, he wants everybody else in whole Christendom to overlook the fact that they don't go to church. Just like those sports figures. I can't overlook that. That's wrong. God's people are supposed to be in the house of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, as when God's people assemble as God's children, we're supposed to be here. Well, you know, Sunday morning, that's what everybody else does. I don't care what everybody else does. Never have cared what everybody else does.
Yeah, that's right.
What matters is, what does that book say?
Amen.
Concerning me as a child of God. What does the Bible say concerning my life as a Christian? They all strive, these strive to focus in, get people to overlook their mask and focus in on the good that they do. Well, forgive me, but I can't know your heart. I can only go by what I see. And that mask, Mr. Lone Ranger, is glaring. Is glaring, and I cannot overlook it. Well, my friend, the best thing the Lone Ranger can do is to get rid of his mask. Listen, child of God, the Bible is very clear as it pertains to our testimony before the world. The Bible is very clear. You're there in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter number 2. The Bible tells us, we begin reading in verse number 12, having your conversation, that word conversation, it includes your speech, but it means your whole life, everything about it, your life. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Watch verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, verse 16, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. It is a matter of living a life, if you will, in where we begin to remove those things that would be a hindrance to somebody else coming to know the Lord. Listen, if you're not concerned about souls, you as a child of God, you as a professing Christian, if you are not concerned about winning souls, you're not going to understand one part of this message tonight. Because every part of it has to do with understanding that we are to do everything we can to have a very clear testimony before the lost, that when we try to witness to them, they'll recognize the sincerity of our hearts and would hear, receive, and believe. It's all about it. Men can go out of here and get mad because we want our women to wear dresses in the choir. We want our men to dress appropriately in our choir. They go out here and get mad because of such standards. After all, God does not care about how people dress. He let people sing to Him and worship Him. I get all that. The problem is lost people ain't like that. When we can remove anything, here's what I'm saying. We could have 100 people in here. If we have everybody in our choir dressing modestly and appropriately, the chances are not one person would be offended by that. But we let somebody come in here dress in an ill-clad manner, in the attire of an harlot, and they stand up here behind the choir, there may be 4 people in here that says, well, look at that. Look at that. I can't believe they let people like that sing in the choir. The thing is, they don't know this person's heart. We do. So the wise thing is, okay, if I can do anything to get everybody to be in a position where they would not be offended and thus be able to hear the Word of God, we should do just that. We should do just that. We should not say, hey, this is the way I am. Everybody else just needs to deal with it. That is a carnal, worldly, fleshly, prideful, arrogant attitude.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's where I am. They just need to deal with it. Yeah, they'll deal with it. They may die and go to hell, and that's going to be on you, Jack.
Come on, preacher.
Or Jill. And we not see, that's what I'm saying. If you're not concerned about souls, this ain't going to matter a whole lot to you. But if you are, you understand what I'm talking about, this matter of having a good, clear-cut testimony in the eyes of the lost. If there is anything in our lives which contradicts our faith, it causes others to ask questions in the lives of those who know us. And in essence, it hinders their view of your Christianity. Your attitude should not be they just need to deal with it. Absolutely not. We should seek the Lord's help and ask Him to remove any obstacle which clouds our testimony for Jesus Christ. In essence, we're asking God to give us the strength to remove the mask. Remove the mask. Rather than have to tell everybody and force everybody to overlook the mask, I know I look like a dope smoker. I know I look like a hell raiser. I know I look like a harlot. I know I look like anything other than Christianity. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody else is just going to have to deal with it. That's a wrong attitude. If you want to be used by God in a great and a mighty manner, what you need to do is just ask God, is there anything in my life that hinders that reflection of you? It don't have nothing to do with what the preacher says. See, if all you see is what man's trying to tell me to do, that's the wrong way to look at it. You ask God what He would have you do. And you'll find as I ask God what He would have me to do, and you ask God what He would have you to do, and we all ask God what He would have us to do, you'll find it very, very strange, but we'll all be pretty close to being on the same page. I knew a guy at the mission who hung papers. I know Patrick did that for a long time, and he probably knows who it is. I don't remember the guy's name, but this is some of the mindset. I didn't want the guys there to work day labor, and that's what hanging paper did. But as time went on, this guy, He wanted to work hanging paper. Hanging paper. It's where you see people that walk up and down the streets and they put these flyers on your door handle. It's kind of the street terminology, is they're hanging paper. And it's funny, he said this to me. He said, I really like working down there hanging paper. Why? Because the thing that I didn't like about it is because they would meet there at the store early in the morning. They'd get a draw on their check. And a lot of them would buy booze. A lot of them would buy marijuana. They would have this stuff with them, and that they got in the back of this van and they went to wherever neighborhood they were going to work in. And here they are, just really a van load of drunks and drug addicts. All right, there's a guy at the mission. Now, he's wanting to get his life right with the Lord. And I find it strange that a guy like that would want to work in a crowd like that. Are we all right, Patrick? We're all right there? You know what I'm talking about. So, and I said, man, why in the world would you even want to work there? He said, because of this. I want to show everybody that you can that you can hang paper and still live for the Lord. I thought, what? Well, that whole mindset is this right here I'm talking about tonight. It's wanting to get around all that filth and all that ungodliness and try to... And by the way, let me tell you this, he didn't make it. God's method is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be separate, saith the Lord. Be different. Remember the culture of Christianity? Where it seems today people try to take this old culture before their salvation and bring it into their new salvation. God never meant for that to be. He said, leave it. Leave it. And you come out. And from a distance, God may use you to be a witness to them. But you don't bring that culture with you. Amen, Brother Brown. In essence, remove the mask, the very thing that everyone else has to overcome. I got four masks here that I think would be good to remove. Number one, how about the mask of unfaithfulness to church? How about the mask of being unfaithful to God's house? It's like I said earlier, we like to feign ourselves so spiritually minded. And yet we go to church whenever we feel like it. We put our nose way up in the air about things that are going on around here. We'll tell others how it ought to be. We'll tell others there how that preacher, he don't really know what he's doing down there. He don't have good grasp of the Bible the way I have it. Just talk so spiritual. Talk so spiritual. But you ain't faithful to church. Ain't faithful to church. If I get up in time, I'll go. If I feel like going, I'll go. You know, it's just kind of convenient. Why don't we get that mask off? Why don't we just determine as a child of God, His Word says that I'm not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm a child of God. That's the assembling of ourselves together. If you feel like God's brought you here, if you don't, then you need to go someplace else. But if you determine you're a child of God and you understand the Bible says we're supposed to be at this assembly, then be here. Be here. Take that mask off. Why? Because it's looking at me right in the face. It's glaring at me. I can't see the good you do because that thing is glaring at me. Unfaithfulness to church. People professing godliness, yet inconsistent when it comes to the house of God. They're telling people, forget the mask. Overlook the mask. Never mind the mask. Look at all the good that I do. I'm telling you, according to God's Word, I believe we're supposed to love this building. And I mean the building and this assembly. This place. This place. Why do I love this building? Why do I love not only the building, why do I love the brethren? Why do I love the brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ? Yeah, they're not perfect. Yeah, they're not everything they're supposed to be, everything that they ought to be, and maybe everything, and we know they're not everything they're going to be, but guess what? Neither are you. I heard somebody giving out one of my statements today as I walked by. I forget who, I think it was Brother Dwayne talking to somebody, He said this. He said, well, preacher always says he can take anybody like they are as long as they can take him like he is. Amen. Why? Because ain't none of us perfect. Me included. If I can overlook some of the foolishness of others, I pray you can overlook mine. What a love the brethren. I'm talking about being consistent to the house of God. Love the building. Love the brethren. Love the business. Love the business. What's the Father's business? Going out into the harvest, winning souls to Jesus Christ. Want to love that. That's what our purpose is. And want to be a part of it every time we meet here on Thursday night. Man, there's 40, 50 people here gathered in. We're gathered ready to go out and serve the Lord. You ought to be here. That's the business. That's the business. You ought to love the business. Get a little bit late. Man, our kids have school. I wonder if you have the same burden for the sleep of your children when that ball game's going on till 10, 11 o'clock. I know that's different. Sure, I know it's different. You want me to overlook that mask. That's why it's different. You want me to look at all the good you do. Don't focus in on that, preacher. Look at all the other stuff we do. Amen. You ought to love the business. You ought to love the business. You ought to love not only the building and the brethren and the business, you ought to love the boss. Amen. Now I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You ought to love your pastor too, by the way. But you definitely ought to love the Savior, the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get the mask off when it comes to church faith. You need to determine it's right and be here. Be here. Amen. We need you here. I'm there in spirit. I want your spirit here. Ain't one spirit I want in here. That's the Holy Ghost of God. Right. I don't need your spirit here. We need your bodies here. Amen. Number two. Or to get rid of the mask not only of unfaithfulness to church, or to get rid of the mask of worldly activities. Worldly activities. There are some things I still believe Christians ought not do. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know we live in a hellacious society, man, and everything under the sun is accepted these. Boy, we watch television, it has filthy words, has filthy dress, has ungodly everything about it. Boy, we sit right there and we take it all in just like it's nothing. Shame on us. But I'm telling you, there's some things that Christians ought not be a part of. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, let me get over there. Well, I know I got it in here somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, I would just stop right there, but I like reading all of it, amen? Bible says this, listen, child of God, listen, hang on here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For here's a good question. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In other words, what fellowship has those that shouldn't be wearing a mask? What fellowship have those that don't wear masks with those who do wear masks? That's a good question. That's what I had for the Lone Ranger. Why don't you just get rid of the mask? He said, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God. You know what? In essence, when you live and you're part of ungodly activities as a child of God, you're not only telling other people to look to never mind the mask, you know, you're also telling God, don't look at the mask. Isn't that what it says right there? Let me read it again. Let me see if it's in the case. All right, here's a people that they're, evidently they're flirting with ungodliness and with satanic stuff. Belial, Christ with Belial. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Here it is, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Why? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell where? In them. In them. And when you're a part of ungodly activities for a child of God, you're not only telling others to just look the other way, you're telling God to look the other way. Well, you better get one thing straight. God don't look the other way. God recognizes your pride and your arrogance and your ungodliness, and yep. you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Right. Who's with me? Amen. Man, we're preaching right along. I got plenty of time. Amen. Wherefore, the Bible says in verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, boy. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, if the dress that you're wearing If it fits more in the bar scene than it does the church scene as a child of God, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now listen to me. Let me say that again. If your appearance fits better in a bar scene than it does in the church scene as a child of God, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Amen.
Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The mask of worldly activities. How about going to bars? You know, you go down here to the tavern, and nearly every one of them, they're sitting that bottle, tipping that glass, they all got a Christian testimony. They just want you to overlook the mask. Never mind the mask. I do a lot of good. There they are in the tavern, listening to ungodly music, part of ungodly activities. You know, they're flirting with this person and that person. We know what those bar scenes are all about. I'm sure they ain't changed much. Christians ain't got no business in a bar. Amen. Christians have no business in some of the recreation. You know, Christians don't belong to no dances.
That's right.
See, that is. So don't preach on it that much. Christians don't belong in that. How are you going to dance when the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let everyone have his own wife. How are you going to do that? You go to these silly proms and all that kind of stuff. First thing they want to do is get little Susie and little Ralph up there together doing a dance in the middle of the floor in front of everybody. It looks so cute. That's godly. I ain't making friends right now. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm just telling you, these are the things that we do that cause that what we're saying is, never mind that. Don't look at that. Look at everything else. Don't look at the mask. Don't look at the past. It's been said before that a dancing foot and a praying knee does not grow on the same leg. A dancing foot and a praying knee does not grow on the same leg. Recreation. Christians ain't got no business these water parks. What are you going to do at a water park? Christian? It's funny. You remember I preached a message several years ago on the proper place to hang your Christianity. You remember I had that suit on a hanger, and I said some people hang it right outside the doors here. They leave their Christianity and then they go out into the world. Well, a lot of people, they take their Christianity and they hang that thing right outside the doors of whatever this place is over. It used to be Wet and Wild, Hurricane Harbor. Whatever the case might be, Christians ain't got no business going to those places.
Amen.
Girls are running around less than their underwear. Girls, don't you kid yourself. Them guys ain't going there just to play in the water. They won't get their hands on you. And Christians don't belong to places like that. Why don't we take the mask off these worldly activities? Come in here and man, they're involved in so many areas of the church, and all of a sudden they say, "Yeah, me and my kids, we went out to Hurricane Harbor this past week." Man, like a knife in my heart. Are you kidding me? Am I that far out of touch? Christians don't belong there. You can just overlook that, can't you, preacher? I mean, after all, look at all the good that I do. I can't overlook that. I guess in a way I have to, but I'm just telling you, it's glaring to me, as it should be to you. Never mind the mask, the Lone Ranger said. Never mind the mask. You don't belong there. You don't belong in certain places, and I'm just giving those for a few examples. There's a lot of places. You don't belong. Hey, you have a family reunion, everybody's bragging on how drunk they're going to be. Can I tell you, you don't belong there. You don't belong there. There's a big group of people getting together, and they're going to go down to see the latest rated R movie, and you know good and well it's full of cursing, and it's full of nakedness, and it's full of all kinds of things that are not productive for the Spirit of God that lives within the child of God. You have no business there. Have no business there. Take the mask off that worldly activities. Because you don't belong there any more than Lot belonged in Sodom. You don't belong there any more than David when the kings went out to war. You don't belong there any more than Samson as he laid his head in the lap of Delilah. You don't belong there. You don't belong there. Number three, how about getting rid of the mask of carnal dress? Worldly dress. Obviously, for this part, it's going to deal with a lot of the ladies when it comes to modesty. Now, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. There, Paul is writing to Timothy concerning the ladies. He said of them that, let me get over there. In verse number 9, in like manner also, I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. In modest apparel. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Modest apparel. Dress. Ladies, you need to be mindful that them tops may be getting a little too low. Ladies, you may need to be reminded them bottoms are getting a little too high. Modest dress. Not only high, but tight. I wrote my notes, high and tight. That's good for a man's haircut. That's not good for a lady's dress.
Amen.
High and tight, that's good for a man's haircut. Amen, Brother Scott? Amen. Good high and tight, bro. Praise God. That ain't good for a lady's dress. And you know, every time, ladies, when you come in here and you know you're dressing in hey, let me put it this way. I'm not saying you're dressing necessarily in a provocative manner. Can I just say it maybe safely this way? You're dressing with a lesser standard than you could. Well, when you do that, what in essence you're doing is you're wanting everybody to overlook that. A dress come up to here. I mean, hey, you're involved in the church and you really get busy in the church, but that top comes down to here. You're saying, hey, why are you getting mad at me, preacher? Just overlook that. And not only me, well, everybody else in the church, hey, just overlook that. You're doing just like the lone ranger whenever he goes into people and people are afraid of him because he doesn't look like what he's going to end up turning out to be. He doesn't look like he looks like a bad person. And they say, and he says to them, just overlook the mask. Forget the mask. Pay no attention to the mask. I've got my reason for wearing this mask. Modest dress. Modest dress. Ladies, I'm telling you, I believe that when it comes to the world, by the way, let me say this. When there are still some, I know it's becoming less and less, but there are still some folks out there in the world that think Christians are supposed to wear dresses. Everywhere. I've never been one for this double standard. Why is so-and-so so good? Yeah, they wear pants, but they don't wear pants to church. I know, I guess that's good. But what does that say? Remember where we're hanging our Christianity?
Yep.
If it's right here, it's right out there.
Yep.
But see, when we wear our breeches, and they may be modest, I'm not saying that they're not. Modest is a key. But I'm just telling you, when we're talking about removing hindrances in the minds of the lost, there are a lot of people outside this door that they would say, if you're a Christian, you wear a dress as a lady. And whenever we say, hey, they can just deal with it. Well, what you're telling them is, don't look at the mask. Look at all the other good that I do. Never mind the mask. Don't look at the mask. Forget the mask. I'm telling you, they can't do that. They can't do that. And see, that's where we are. We should live our lives to remove those hindrances. Ladies, dress modestly everywhere. Everywhere. Well, I can't be a part of that function unless I wear these. Well, praise God.
Yep.
Are we all right? All right. We're talking about Lone Ranger. If it means for you to be involved in a certain function, but you have to dress in a way that kind of dampens your spirit when it comes to the Holy Spirit inside of you, maybe you shouldn't be a part of that. Now here's the thing, watch this, ladies. You'll get around a lot of those other ladies that do the same thing, and you'll see it's okay. We'll be the ones that'll look like that we're out of touch. We may be out of touch with society, but we're not out of touch with this Bible. And we're not going to give account to society. We're going to give account to God. And it's going to be that book right there that's opened up. Now, you know I don't sit up here and preach about women wearing dresses. You know that. I preach modesty. I know that's where people are. But what I'm telling you is right. There are still people out there in the world that think Christian ladies ought to wear dresses. Well, now we've got a choice to make. We're either going to say we don't care what they think, or we might ask God to help us to conform in some areas. What it's going to take is humility on your part. That's always a good thing. Always a good thing. And you'll see God will bless that, I just believe. Oh, by the way, before I leave here tonight, I got several, I think it was last year. Last year I taught on modesty to our young girls in the youth department. And I've got these little things here that I gave them. And after the service, and I want to make them available to all of our ladies and to you fathers, amen? You daddies and whatever the case, if you're interested in just looking at kind of some things that I taught our young people on this matter of modest dress, I'll have these available for you back there at the back. The mask of carnal dress. Listen, when we dress like a harlot professing Christ, it is to say, forget the mask. It is to force people to overlook it and try to focus in on the other things. I said as I preached a message on the attire of a harlot, the attire of shows the desire of. The attire of shows the desire of. Number four, the mask of carnal desires. Not only carnal dress, but Roman number four, the mask of carnal desires. Where's our love for our Savior these days? Where is our love for God? Why, instead of us begging God to allow us to walk with Him, we live lives in which we try to force God to walk with us. It's not that we're submitting to His will. We're living a life in which we're trying to get God to conform to our will. But I know you want me to be a preacher of the gospel, but I'm going this way. This is what I want. It'll make me money. It'll bring me happiness. It'll meet my needs. And I'm going this way, and I hope that you come along with me. Lord, this is the way I see it, and I'm going that way, and I hope you understand. Come on, let's go. Instead of submitting to God's will and begging God to allow us to walk with Him, we try to conform God to walk with us. Carnal desires. The Bible tells us all is in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They're not of God. They're not of God. When your desires are not to serve God, instead your desire is to make money. Your desire is to be somebody. I could have been somebody, the old actor said. I could have been a contender. Who remembers that show? West Side Story, I think it was. Marlon Brando. That's what a lot of people want to do today. They want to be somebody. As if serving God will put them in a position where they are a nobody. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? When you think that serving God is going to end you up in a place where you are a nobody, you're messed up in the head. As Ron Gare said, you're crippled too high for crutches. Somebody dropped you on your head when you were a baby and forgot to write it in your baby book. That's what we think, though. Because what it is what we want. We think that God is some mean person. All He wants us to do is suffer through life, and I want this and I want that, and our hearts are turned away from God. That's a carnal desire. You want to make money. You want to be somebody. You want to go places. Yeah, you're going to go places, all right. You're going to go places. You're going to find yourself going to a place of poverty. You're going to find yourself going to a place of regret. You're going to find yourself going to a place where you're going to hear these words. I tried to tell you. But you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have it. I was counseling with someone not too long ago, and I told them, I said, please, don't make me have to say, I told you so. But we're dead set so many times, we get our carnal desires, and it's what we want, and we're not hearing nothing else. And when church is going on, we wear a frown. When the outside activities are taking place, we perk up and we're so happy. Oh boy, we get to do this. Oh, I'm so excited. Church, I hate church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be here. Ain't you saved? Aren't you saved? Aren't you a child of God? Don't you know Christ as your Savior? Don't you recognize what the Lord did for you? Shame on you. And you come to church and everybody knows you don't want to be there. Everybody knows you don't want to be there. I can tell it from up here you don't want to be here. A lot of you right now, amen. And when you do that, you think it's just you in your own little world. But you ain't. And you're influencing others. You know, the problem is you're not going to influence me. I'm farther along in my faith than to let your crooked face, your disfigured face, change my view of my Lord. Amen. And my service for my God.
Amen.
But you don't realize it's going to hurt those you love. That's the problem. It's going to hurt those you love. It's called the Achan principle. I'm telling you, when we get to where the things of church become such a heavy burden, and boy, we just don't want to be there. But after church, man, I throw a ball out there in the parking lot, and all of a sudden everybody's got a field full of energy. I remember what Brother Mickey did one time. We was there at Baptist Temple, and he said, I figured out what to do to get folks to come out on Thursday night. And we're all ears, man. He said, yeah, I figured it out, man. We're going to have a load of people here on Thursday night. Oh yeah, how's that? He reached down under the pulpit and grabbed up a football and threw it out in the middle of the auditorium. He said, because I found somebody throw a football out in the middle of the field, everybody comes out of the woodwork to come play. Yeah. Maybe it's a baseball. Throw that ball up in there and boy, here they come. Smiles on their face, gleams in their eyes, man, they're ready to go. Hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting. I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to be here. That's carnality. That's your flesh. That's your flesh like a pimple that needs to be popped. And by the way, parents, it'll get better once you do. Who's with me? That's just all it is. It's your carnality. And you want everybody else just to get over it. Just to look the other way. Act like it ain't even there. Well, I'm telling you right now, they can't. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we're so stuck in our carnality that we're willing to hurt others in the process of hanging on to it. The Lone Ranger, wearing his mask. Everywhere he'd go, he had to try to explain that thing away. Never mind the mask. I don't look at the mask. Don't pay no mind to this mask. Forget the mask. Why don't you just take the silly thing off? And rather than you hang on to your pet sin like some sort of mask that you find justification for because of all the other areas that you are patted on the back for, why don't you just get rid of that mask? Oh, well, you'll find, oh, it's funny. Somebody told me here that the word Tonto, you know what the word Tonto means? You know the Lone Ranger and Tonto, right? That word in the Spanish language means stupid. I'd be very offended if I was an Indian back in those days. The word means stupid. So what kind of a person would follow a person like the Lone Ranger around? a stupid person. I say get rid of the mask. It just fixes the whole problem. He'll never have to say it again. He won't ever scare some little child. He won't ever have to have somebody have to crawl over his appearance in order to not feel afraid. If you just get rid of the mask. Get rid of the mask. Who's with? Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe God spoke to your heart. I certainly hope so. I hope we had a good time tonight with this application, but I believe it's very profound. Very profound.